And we're getting your comments, your questions as we talk about ET visitation, end times. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back, Daniel Davis with us and your calls as well. Daniel, as you look at all of this, of course, where you've been studying your research, the various astronauts, the experts who have seen things and, you know, have reported what they've heard, you've got to come to the conclusion, as you have, that something's going on here in a big way.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. As you mentioned, astronauts, military pilots, the hundreds of people that have come out on the Disclosure Project, all the countries around the world, you name it. I mean, there's just so much information. It can't be ignored anymore. The problem is most people just aren't aware of how much information is out there.
It's huge now, isn't it?
Yep.
Back to the calls. West of the Rockies, Jonathan is in Oildale, California. Hey, John, go ahead.
George, how you doing?
Okay, Jonathan.
Hello, Daniel Davis. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you doing, Jonathan?
Oh, I'm blessed. Listen, first, before I yank you a compliment, I want to mention, please remember, I know you got a Bible at home.
Right.
Remember Acts chapter 2, verse 38, being repented, baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins and receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, a visitation from God that'll change your whole life. He loves you. Listen, you made a good comment because I've traveled to Australia even. You want to get along with people. You want people to get along with you. And so I think through the deviant foundations of politics disguised as religion for all its differentials, people are offended, and that's why it's not so easily discussed. You're right. You got that right on, man.
Yeah.
That's how it really is. But I'd like to comment also on the revelations. You know, George mentioned there's a way we might wiggle out of all this. Well, when you're repented, Jesus' name baptized, Holy Ghost filled, when the Lord comes to take that church, and then all hell breaks loose, we're going to find out that whether it be Ananias and Nephilim and all that bad stuff that hit just before Genesis 6:6, when God repented that he ever made man and shortened his lifespan to 120 years, that those were demons. They imitate both aliens and ghosts. That's their commonality. And if you look in Hebrews 11:34, by faith they put the armies of the aliens to flight. So it all ties in. Demons are trying to make people think they're friendly aliens or friendly ghosts. And the next thing you know, guess what? People are deceived and they're lost and they miss out because they weren't found in the Lamb's Book of Life. But if we get together as a people and get along with our Creator, no matter what bike you think you need to ride, and he gets along with us because we've obeyed his word, we're all going to be saved, and only the devil and his demons can go to hell. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, basically, we all need to be acting more like God instead of proclaiming our belief in God.
Mm-hmm. Barry Downing writes that he believes that these angels or these ETs are also demons. So there's a camp out there, Daniel, that believes that and truly pushes that agenda.
Well, we'll find out. But again, as you know, going all the way back, as far back as the evidence goes, it generally doesn't seem to indicate that much negativity. If you get too ensconced in any particular religious camp, yes, you know, you can translate things that way. But I would hope that we will start thinking more globally rather than trying to get too caught up in the details of any particular religion.
Back we go. Let's go to Tuffy driving in the state of Washington on the wild card line. Tuffy.
Hi. Hello. How are you?
Okay. How are you?
I'm very good. Very excited. I've listened to your show forever, and this is the first time I've actually tried calling.
How'd you get the name Tuffy?
Tessie. It's actually Tessie.
Tessie. Oh, okay. All right. Thanks. Go ahead.
So I just had a question. I have no doubt that there's, you know, extraterrestrial life out there, but I was just wondering, like, how, what's your opinion on how they would get here, like, to Earth, you know?
Okay. Good question. Well, hello, Washington. The state of Kenneth Arnold's sighting that gave us the term flying saucer. Okay, so how would they get here? Well, obviously, conventional rockets aren't going to work. Einstein set a limit. If you're going to go to speed of light, the amount of energy necessary would make it impossible. So more than likely, what we're talking about is some kind of wormholes, which that scientists will tell you are possible. They're called Einstein-Rosen bridges. So more than likely, they would have a wormhole that goes from wherever they're coming from to here. That's one possibility. And a variation of that that I've heard, this comes from Bob Lazar talking about, he was a physicist well known for the whistleblower, Area 51, yeah. Basically. And he described it as basically the ship, UFO, the whatever you want to call it, flying saucer, creates its own warping ability. It warps space on its own. So basically it creates its own wormhole, something like that. So if you're talking about in our three- or four-dimensional space, how you get from point A to point B, that would probably be the way they do it, through wormholes, the Einstein-Rosen bridges. Another possibility exists that these extraterrestrials are coming not necessarily from another part of space, but actually from different dimensions.
Well, that's a big possibility.
Right. And again, this is, you know, physics doesn't rule this out, because according to the string theory, or the M theory, depending on how you want to look at it, there's a total of 10 or 11 different dimensions, again, depending on who you go with. So we're missing, you know, another six or seven dimensions. So they could be in another dimension that's essentially right in front of our face, but it's kind of holographic. You know, the way you look at a holograph and you look at it one way, it looks one way, but then you look at it, you just shift your glance a little bit and it looks a different way, something like that. So they may be appearing from other dimensions as well, in which case they don't really have to go far at all. They just need to shift dimensions. So those, from what I've seen, those are the top two ways that it would happen.
Okay, well, let's go to John in Milwaukee, Wisconsin now. It's John's turn. Hi, John.
Yeah, hey, George. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Love this program, right up my alley. I really, really dig people who are willing to dig deep enough to tie in, you know, modern-day religion with science. Anyways, Daniel, you're somebody that I could, you know, again, chat around the campfire with all night.
he is.
Your reaching is right up there with Stephen Quayle and Eli, and, you know, it's just brilliant stuff, man.
Thank you.
But my question for you, multifaceted, going to the Book of Revelations, it speaks about how we will all be transferred to perfectly spiritual, perfectly immortal bodies. And I've always tried to wrap my mind around that. If you look at it from the perspective of, you know, basically the fallen angels are fired, and look at it from the kind of basic viewpoint of we're at a job fair. We're being tested. We are going to be granted immortal bodies. And God does not want to make the same mistake again. So then I think, you know, we are going to be the next, you know, traversers of the galaxy, of the universe. And I've heard it mentioned before that, you know, the human body could not withstand the speeds of light travel. So there is a body awaiting for us after death that could. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I mean, I would love to travel to a solar system with a gigantic, you know, blue sun the size of our own solar system, or witness black holes or what have you. And I think the problem that people have wrapping their minds around this is that they get so tied up in the Bible that was written, you know, thousands of years ago by people who the most advanced technology they witnessed was a cart drawn by a horse with wheels.
Right.
You know, they had no idea how to describe this
right. Mm-hmm.
in the written word. And then, you know, over the ages, the powers that be turned this into religion. But I think it's all tied together. And I think back to a guest George had on last week, speaking about creating itself would be impossible in the sense that, you know, amino acids meeting proteins, something like, I believe he said 10 to the 26th power, you know, which is like Google times
right.
like 2.5 plus, or, you know, it's just some amazing number. And I was thinking on that, and I started wondering, you know, what if it takes the universe to create an Earth like we have, but yet there are, you know, multiverses, interdimensions, yeah. And, you know, our God and his race is simply a being, you know, of a species of, you know, a number of multiverses. It just starts to blow the brain, you know. But anyways, my main question for you, sir, is, you know, what you think about after death is the promise of finally getting to traverse, you know, the outer reaches of space.
Right. Okay, well, I like the way that Gary Zukav put it, that our human existence on this planet is Earth school. We are here to learn a lesson, okay? And we will go on after death, to the afterlife, to put that knowledge into use. One of the things that I got to say, the bottom line for me here, because I was brought up very four-square kind of Christian, okay? Let me just put it this way. Since I've kind of opened my mind a little bit more and done a lot of this, you know, comparative study of religions and looking at what they have in common and all the possibilities, I am not afraid of death at all. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't want to commit suicide because that would be taking myself out of Earth school without permission, and I'm a teacher by training, so I wouldn't do that. But I got to say, I'm looking forward to the afterlife. I think it's going to be way cool.
I'm in no rush, though, to get there.
Right, exactly. No, I mean, that's like I said, you know, learn everything you can while you're here on Earth. Enjoy Earth as it is. And especially if you get into nature and stuff like that, you'll know what I'm talking about. You can really enjoy life by being part of nature, admiring the beauty of nature, admiring God's creation, whatever, whoever God may be, admire the creation. Yes, look around at what we can, like with the Hubble telescope and whatnot. Look around at the rest of the cosmos. It's absolutely gorgeous. I mean, you know, I can't imagine any painter trying to paint anything more beautiful than some of the pictures that come from, well, anywhere, really. I mean, pictures from, you know, astronomy, from, like I said, Hubble telescope or whatever. I can't picture paintings more beautiful than that. So there's a lot of beauty to be held in this life, and there's no point in worrying about the afterlife as long as whatever religion you're talking about, you are more concentrating on acting godlike than, you know, stressing to people how you believe in God, because sometimes what you say and what you do are two completely different things. So, I'm with you there.
The multiverses.
Right.
Possible that they're coming from there? As you said, other dimensions. What about other universes?
Why not? Yeah, that could be another possibility. Because one of the spins on the M theory or the string theory is that there are an infinite amount of universes. And on the membrane, when they collapse, that's what causes things like the Big Bang. When they contact, it causes things like the Big Bang. Another thing I heard from science also is that black holes may tie one universe to another. So maybe they're coming through black holes. I don't know. But that is definitely a possibility. Yes, other universes, other dimensions, right.
What about the other presidents? Have presidents been informed about what's going on?
Yes. At least from Roosevelt, there's some indications that they actually had some kind of wreckage in the basement of Congress during Roosevelt's time, FDR. And since then, every single president has said something or otherwise indicated that there is definitely something going on with extraterrestrials, UFOs, whatever the case may be. Every single president has said something, or there's been some kind of correspondence between him and other people. In some cases, like Carter, they've flat out admitted that Carter and Reagan both. Carter was more forthcoming with it. Reagan, though, he admitted to a Wall Street Journal reporter that there was a couple different occasions that he saw a UFO. Now, the last couple presidents have been a bit more secretive, but again, overwhelming evidence, you know, from all levels of government, from presidents on down.
Why so secretive?
Well, this takes us back to what we started with, is there's all these reasons that they don't want us to know. They don't want us to question because of all the implications for how it would change our way of life, our industries, or the way we get along with each other, make it impossible to have so many wars with all this huge budget that goes to various military contractors and so on. So again, we talked about this earlier. There's many reasons that they are being secretive about this.
All right, we go next to Larry in Norfolk, Virginia, east of the Rockies. Larry, go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. I have a couple questions, if I could ask.
Sure.
Either one of you believe in Jesus Christ, and have you been saved and believe on the cross, and the blood of Jesus Christ saved you from sin?
Good question. I believe that he was around. I believe he was a human. I believe that he had some mystical,
right. Well,
God-given
George,
powers.
You went far enough. And how about you, the other John? Would you answer that question for me?
Sure. There is historical evidence for the existence of Jesus. So, yes, he existed. As far as dying on the cross to redeem us of our sins.
You don't have to answer the question for you. You went far enough. Because I've heard some other Christians call in and give you the scriptures. I'm not going to do that because it's there for people. The only thing, if you go in and go in the Bible and read on apostasy and apostates, which will be in, I believe, it's 2 Timothy chapter 3, unfortunately, sir, I believe you're a false prophet, and I'm not going to pussyfoot around like some of the other Christians called in. I don't judge it. The Bible does. The people that are listening, the only thing that I hate here, I think you get people that maybe not be know the Lord. You get them off on both of you, get them off on the wrong track. And so, therefore, I suggest the people that are listening go there to their Bible, whatever Bible, because there again, you keep saying that men wrote it or other people say that or that some guy came up with the rapture, a bishop back, I believe you said in the 8th of whatever century it was. But there again, it doesn't say rapture if you go in there and read it. I believe that is also in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, starting around the 13th verse. And I may have got the chapters mixed up here and transposed them because I'm a little nervous. I normally don't do this. But therefore, unfortunately, sir, I believe you're like in the Old Testament where you had the prophet who had the donkey, called him an ass. And he was going to go forth with the false prophecy, and the angel was going to sit there and chop off his head. Unfortunately, the donkey was smarter than him, and even though they called the donkey an ass, he actually saved the other guy's ass. Unfortunately, if you don't get in the blood of Christ, when that book is open in the end time, where is your name going to be when that book is open before God?
Well, Daniel, what can we say?
Well, I think I'm with you on this, George. I don't want to get into the whole religious debate because
you can't win.
That's a whole another book that I'm working on. But bottom line for me is I am not afraid of the afterlife. Bottom line.
Let me finish responding to that, Daniel, when we come back. The time is clicking by. We'll be back in a moment. On our next Coast to Coast program, we're going to continue the theme. We'll talk a little bit about Area 51 and what other strange things are going on this planet. That'll be our next Coast to Coast show. And welcome back. Of course, we're with Daniel Davis. We're talking about his work, From Ancient Aliens to the Shift. Got a couple emails from people, and Daniel want to know exactly again where they can get your book and can they email you anywhere?
As far as the getting the book, it's www.poeticmatrix.com/title/.
That's going to be a tough one. We better get a link for you set up,
okay.
Huh?
Well, the easiest thing to do is to Google it with Poetic Matrix. So Daniel D. Davis, From Ancient Aliens, Poetic Matrix. If you Google that, you'll find it.
All right. Let's go to Oahu in Hawaii. Hello, Susie. Go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hey.
Hi, Daniel.
How you doing, Susie?
I've been listening to your show ever since you started it. Every single night, every day when I go to the gym, I listen to the podcast.
Super. Thank you.
Absolutely wonderful show, and very interesting subject tonight. Daniel, the last person that called was really bent on you reading the Bible and hearing all these prophecies and things in the Bible, but there's a, I don't know if you've ever heard, there's a religion and that started in the 1800s that talks about the earth is one country and mankind its citizens. And just as you were saying, how we're all have to unite as, you know, under one planet, basically, because there's all these people from other worlds.
Right.
Things from other worlds. It also, they prophesied the coming of the technological age. I think the prophet was an alien personally, you know, because of all the things that he foretold, talking about prophecy and how mankind would have to communicate with otherworldly beings. There's an actual religion, and they talk about there's only one God. All the religions of the world came from the same one God. And they believe, they pray to God. They don't pray to Jesus or Krishna or Zoroaster or Muhammad. They just pray to God. And there's a whole religion about that, and which to me is so very real. They also say that religion and science must coexist. So, I mean, everything you were talking about tonight just falls in line with these beliefs.
Yeah. The whole chapter on this is called The Shift, the Ancient New Religion, because this guy, this kind of belief, this inclusive belief, has been around in one shape or the other for forever. Hinduism and Buddhism, that's a very strong aspect of it. Unfortunately, in any religion, people tend to get hung up on the rituals and names and this and that and the other, and they miss. They missed the big point of, yeah, being all-inclusive. But, yeah, in the 1800s, transcendentalism was real big with Walt Whitman and Thoreau and whatnot. People like that, that's basically what they're talking about. It's the, what we call the New Thought religion.
New Thought religion.
Again, it's not so much about religion. It's about, I don't even like that word. It's not about religion.
I don't like
religion,
the word religion either. They call it, it's a, the Baha'i faith is this one.
The Baha'i? Okay.
Baha'i,
yeah.
But they
talk about
how all the famous books of each religion,
right?
Quote, religion, all say the same thing, basically.
Mm-hmm.
The only new thing.
Yeah, if you don't get hung up on the stories and the names and the dates and whatever, if you go to the just the real fundamental message that, that people are trying to get across, yeah, it's pretty much the same all the way across the spectrum, as far back as you go, pretty much every religion. But, yeah, people get hung up on certain aspects, and they can't see the whole forest for the trees. So.
And I wanted you to react again, Daniel, to the previous caller before the break who thought basically you are a false prophet.
Well, he's welcome to believe whatever he wants. I am calling it as I see it. Okay, I've done lots and lots of research around the whole alien question, around the end times prophecies and spirituality, not just one book, not just the Bible, but like I said, I've all the major religions, I've read the books or done a lot of research, and as near as I can figure it, this is how it all ties together. That's basically what I'm saying. You know, I started to mention as we were cutting to the break last time, I grew up a missionary kid. Okay, I was for 8 years. I lived in Ecuador, South America. My dad was the director of an orphanage down there. In fact, he's back down there now again.
Is he really?
Yes, because my mom passed away about a dozen years ago, and a couple of years after that, he went back there, and he's been doing that ever since.
He loves it, doesn't he?
Oh yeah, yeah. I loved it. Growing up there was just incredible. But anyway, so I've been exposed, and that was fundamental Christian. Okay, like, you know, American Foursquare. Gospel, evangelist, fundamentalist, pretty much, kind of stuff. So I've been exposed to that, and I've been from one extreme to the other. Once I got out of the house and went into the Army, and I didn't have to go to church every Sunday, I started looking at other possibilities. I went from fundamentalist Christian to basically agnostic / atheistic, and then now I'm more what I would call a New Thought believer. Again, it's not about any particular church. It's not about any particular religion. It's just a sense of spirituality where you are connected with everything and everybody, not just around you, but on the whole planet, the whole universe. And if you look at the chapter 5, I think it's a pretty good summary of all this stuff, that science and all these religions, if you look at them the right way, if you look at particular parts of them, they all seem to say the same thing. It all seems to add up to what I'm saying here, that we are one, and that's if we're ever going to get past these problems that make us a species that might not be too appealing for contact for extraterrestrials, if we're ever going to get all past this stuff, that's what we got to do. We got to focus on the unity aspect of everything, not on what makes us different. But you go back to the bike riding metaphor, instead of concentrating on what kind of bike and the accessories it's got, we need to realize that we're all bicycle riders, period.
Let's go to Ernie, first-time caller, truck driving somewhere in Indiana. Ernie, go ahead.
Good morning, George and Daniel. It's a pleasure to be on the program.
You too.
You too. Good morning.
Basically, I was thinking about this the other day, and I know, George, you've touched on this in the past few months as far as how people are acting more like zombie-like.
Yep.
There's a lot more, seems to be a lot more rage in the world, and especially being a truck driver, I see it on the roads a lot. And a thought came into my mind actually just a few days ago as why, with people using cell phones a lot more, obviously, than ever before, and you used to hear a lot of talk about brain tumors tied in with cell phone use, but my thought was we should think that it's possible that the use of cell phones could be the reason why, maybe it's affecting the human brain in a way that's making people act in this way. And I would like to get both of your views on that particular issue. And I will take my answer off the air. Thanks.
Well, without being a researcher into the cell phones, but we've interviewed enough people to come to some thoughts and conclusions that maybe it's not the wisest thing to do is hold a cell phone up to your ear all the time.
I completely agree. I have done quite a bit of research on the whole cell phone thing. Dr. Mercola, Mercola.com,
yeah, Joe.
I get a lot of information from him. He's had a lot of really good information. There's studies going back to 1996 that show the influences of the EMF, electromagnetic fields, forces that that are created by cell phones. Ask anybody that knows me. I don't use my cell phone much, and I keep it away from me. Like when I'm sitting watching TV or something, I will have it completely across the room from me. If I don't need it, like at night, I always turn it off completely. But it's very, very seldom, like rare occasion, is it anywhere even within grasping distance. I usually have it sitting across the room from me because these things absolutely, positively do emit forces that could be, and that's one of the possible symptoms or the effects that is they change the way you think very subtly, but just enough to get you on edge. In some countries, they've actually got, for example, Wi-Fi free zones where there's no EMF around them like that because a lot of people are more sensitive to them. So even if you look at the user's manuals for your cell phone, it'll say in there, be careful about certain situations. But they're not telling you the whole thing. I mean, you definitely want to be careful around cell phones. You want to keep them at a distance, use them as little as possible.
Text message, but not while you're driving.
Oh, yeah. Right, exactly. One of the things I do is I use the speaker phone option. That way I don't have to hold it up to my ear. I can hold it about a foot away and I hear you just fine. So if I got to use a cell phone, that's the other thing. People who know me will tell you. If I'm using a cell phone, it's usually on speaker phone, so I don't have to hold it up to my ear.
What has been some of the favorite sections of your book to you?
Oh, boy. Well, first and foremost, it'd be the positive aspect of it that alien contact and the prophecies actually have a good sign, because mostly when you watch programs on TV or whatever or read books, a lot of times they're talking more about the negative thing that to be afraid of and whatnot. But I like that the positive possibilities are. Are what seems to be the most logical conclusion out of all of this. And it like I said, this is going to be the biggest event in the human history. I mean, in human history.
Oh, it'll be huge.
If we can start thinking a little bit more open-minded and realize that a lot of the stupid stuff that we do, whether it's waste of resources or the way we treat other people or whatnot, there's other ways, there's more beneficial, productive, environmentally sound ways of doing things than what we are doing right now. And once we can see that and start acting more like a human family as opposed to a human species, the implications are just blows your mind.
All right, let's go to Monica in Arnold, California. Good morning, Monica.
I was just blown away by the actual topic tonight because just yesterday there's a local yard sale type thing, and I picked up this book for $1. It's called The 12 Blessings, and it's by the Asterius Society. It was founded in Los Angeles,
sure thing.
And I never knew anything about it until just yesterday, and I've been researching all kinds of things basically my whole life. But the topic is amazing, and this is really all about everything that you guys are talking about tonight. I believe that all religions are connected to one God. But I just really have to say that some things are unexplainable, and the fact that I came across this book yesterday and what you guys are speaking on is just kind of mind-boggling to me. And I can't believe I'm actually on the air right now because I've been listening to you guys for probably 2 years, and it really is quite mind-boggling. We are coming into an enlightened age of knowledge, and we are people of light, and from God is within all of us, I believe, whatever anyone believes it to be. Everyone believes differently, but I believe it's all connected.
Right.
And I think it's just, even 2 years ago, when I started my research, it was kind of like, this will all become common knowledge. And it is. I mean, just the conversation tonight on the air is amazing to me, because I think it's the goal is to get the knowledge out to the people, to the masses, to spread the word, to save this planet. I mean, the belief of this society is everything that you're talking about tonight.
Right. That's why it's such a big thing that these prophecies concerning the end times, it fits as well. It's end of life as we know it. Not in a negative way, not end of the world as we know it, but end of life as we know it. I mean, humans are being awakened to their connection to everything else. And once we can start thinking like that and thinking peacefully as opposed to resorting to violence and greed and everything to try to resolve everything, that's when we're going to see massive, massive change, where it's like going from child to adulthood or waking up from a dream or a nightmare in this case. It's going to be fundamental. It's going to be massive, the change, for sure.
Bobby's in Newton Falls, Ohio. Welcome to the show, Bobby.
Hi, George. Hi, Daniel.
How you doing, Bobby?
George, we love you in our home, and you've been on my prayer list for a long time.
Well, thanks.
But I have to tell you, I saw 5 UFOs on Saturday.
Whereabouts?
In Newton Falls. It was in the eastern sky. It was toward almost midnight, and they were like 5 fireballs, and they were moving very slowly, and they formed like a geometric shape, and then they stood still and stayed perfectly still, no sound, for about 2 minutes, and then they disappeared.
And they were all in unison, all of them together?
Yep.
Yeah.
Did they make a line or a V?
There were like 3 on the bottom and 2 on the top.
Okay. Yeah, 5 spheres. Well, spheres in general, whether it's a line or a V, or this is slightly different from what I've seen. But this is one of the many types of UFOs that seem to be seen are the spheres. Sometimes they combine, sometimes they split up. But Luckily you. One of the things that I start off the book, and it's still true, is I have never personally seen a UFO. So if somebody like me can write a book with so much credibility that, you know, so much confidence that these things do exist, it means that there's a lot of evidence out there. The point that I was trying to make is, look, it's not that I'm trying to validate what I saw sometime, and so people don't think I'm crazy, I'm writing this book. No. The point, one of the main points behind this book was that even if somebody like me who has never seen a UFO can be so confident, then there must be a lot of information. So I envy you. I look forward to seeing a UFO sometime. I look forward to talking with the extraterrestrials, and I would love to be one of their representatives if you're hearing this up there. Hello. Anyway, so lucky you.
Daniel, with about a minute or so left, why does it seem whenever you question the possibility of angels or something, people come down on you? It's emotional.
Because they're ignorant. Now, I don't mean that in a mean way, but ignorance means lack of information. They have not seen all the evidence, plain and simple. Because once you see it, it's like conspiracy theorists. If anybody calls me a conspiracy theorist, I call them ignorant. And I don't mean to be mean. I'm just saying, you have not done all the research that I have, okay? If you do the research, if you spend the time actually looking up all this information, there's 413 references in this book, okay? They're all on one website, so they're easily accessible, and you can click on them and it makes it easier. But there's a lot of research in here, okay? And anything I say, anything that I come out with, whether it's something I send out on Facebook or emails or something I write about, if I write about it, there's lots of information to back it up because I've done the research. So, to those people, the naysayers, people that call people like us conspiracy theorists, I say, sorry, but you're ignorant.
All right, Daniel, good luck with your work. For David Bujinski, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Lautasor, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, George Knapp, John B. Wells, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.